back again, and we again, as we always do, we left on a bit of a bombshell that we were talking about your martial arts and how, you know, that is your love, and I do think that that has been a general thread through everything, is that martial arts is your passion.
Yeah, it's my stable. It's what got me through a lot of stuff. I was probably a little bit unfair just now. It wasn't just the karate school that caused that. There was some personal stuff going on as well, which, you know, I won't go into at the minute. But yeah, it did change everything. So found myself going out one night, normal night, all the posh dads in the village, you know, we've got the local chief of police, chief inspector, whatever, you know, couple of solicitors, all very professional type people. Went out with them for the evening, usual curry house, shitload of beers, went home, enough's enough, let's take an overdose.
So it wasn't a case of then, because, you know, I think a lot of people will be thinking, oh, were you taking drugs, were you, you know, because you've mentioned this in the past.
At that time, I'd never tried a drug. It was all prescription stuff. I wasn't on drugs. I'd never ever done anything like that at that point. I'd barely drunk. I didn't even do caffeine. I was exercising a lot. Certainly wasn't relying on any substances. I was very, very down. My head was in a bad space. It went on and on and on. I went out. I got absolutely shit-faced with a bunch of people. I remember sitting around the table looking at these people thinking, I don't like any one of you. You know, I'm sat here with my mates from the village, all the other school dads and posh, well-to-do people, if you like. I remember sitting around and thinking, I don't like any single one of you. And it got me thinking. Started drinking a bit more, went home. Inevitably had the row with my wife at the time. Hating life. There was a few other things came out. I'd been a bit of a dick. Thought, fuck it, why not? So I took everything in the cupboard.
And so where was everybody else when you did this?
My wife was there. She tried to stop me. She rang a couple of mates of mine that were actual friends to come over. Unfortunately, my kids caught the tail end of it, which was heartbreaking looking back. The next thing I wake up, I've got a doctor by the throat because I didn't want treatment, and I'm in A&E.
A lot of people will listen to this and they will be thinking, if you're doing it in front of people and you are making this very clear that this is
We rowed, I went off and she found me.
Right.
I just realised what I'd done.
Right.
And then we had a massive fight for me trying. I left the house and she'd rung some friends and they come and found me and I fought them. I wasn't fucking about. I was deadly serious.
You wanted this. Going back to, you know, you were in this bar, and I think as well, you know, we've touched on this in the past, you're still in an area that you were never comfortable with, because you're still in your wife's where your wife's family were from, aren't you?
Yeah, to be honest, a lot of that was my issue though, looking back on it, because of my upbringing and things. I didn't feel like I belonged there.
You said this from the very, very, very start.
A lot, you know, some of the guys there's two guys in particular I said I didn't like him. Actually, there's two guys that were there, real, real solid guys. I know full well one of them, if I rung him now, he'd come straight down. He's quite well to do, you know, decent guy. But I had a massive chip on my shoulder about the people there. I wasn't doing what I wanted to do. I was earning good, but I wasn't earning what I thought I needed to be earning. Looking back on it, I was earning more than them for working half the time they were. But I had a massive chip on my shoulder. Obviously, you know, the things with teaching weren't going right. My head just went, I just, you know, there's also a lot of demons from the past that were lurking that I didn't really pick up on what it was at the time, older, wiser now. But then I didn't realise what the issues were.
And these demons that we talk about, I mean, again, we've covered quite a lot of it in the first sort of six episodes of your family life and how things were. But there were other stuff, wasn't there? There was other things that we haven't talked about.
Yeah.
Are these the things that you're talking about now?
A bit. That was getting to me more. Didn't really realise what it was. I'm not prepared to talk about it now either, but, you know, I'm guessing people listening can guess what's, you know, what we're getting at. Caused me a lot of issues. But it was also affecting my day-to-day, the way I was with people. I didn't realise at the time. It's funny how your mind can block things out a little bit. The fact I wasn't comfortable in my own skin. We had young kids. Pressure of that was too much. I didn't want them to be brought up the way I was brought up. I wanted to do better, and in my head I wasn't doing better.
Is that did you feel yourself? Is that was that half of the thing? Did you feel yourself becoming what you didn't want to be?
No,
and you weren't. But in your head you were.
Not at all. I wanted to do more. I was finding it too stressful to do more, and I was putting too much pressure on myself. There's no pressure that can match anything compared to what you could put on yourself. And whatever I did, I wanted to do more. I thought other people wanted me to do more. Now, looking back on it and having conversations later on, I realised, actually, if I just chilled the fuck out a little bit, everything would have been better. But instead, I was putting so much pressure on myself. I turned out to be an absolute bastard to live with. There was stuff going on in work. And it just totally sent me nuts. And I was really, really hard work to be around. And I hated the kids.
I
loved them to pieces, but I just found it too much. So I was kind of like resentful towards them because everything I was doing was around them and it still wasn't right. And I just turned into a proper dickhead.
But again, like you're saying, nobody had told you that wasn't right. That was just you that was telling yourself that wasn't right.
Yeah.
So therefore, that led you to behave in a certain way, which then makes everybody else...
Well, it's the same thing. You know, you go on Facebook and see what the neighbours are doing and you measure yourself by that. I was measuring myself by everyone else. Yeah, I was, like I said, working half as many hours for more money at home with the family as much as I wanted to be, as you know. And but to me, it wasn't right. It wasn't enough. It was never enough. It didn't help that my wife's family used to look down their nose at me, and that really bothered me. She didn't, but I thought she did. And it just all got stupid. Problem is, it was me. I didn't give a shit what anyone else thought. It was what I thought. And I was measuring myself to things that weren't real. And that was a problem.
So, do you understand, though, how profound that actually is? And actually, it takes a lot of people a long, long time. And some people never, ever understand that. So actually, just take a minute to be proud of the fact that you understand that. Seriously.
Fair.
Because people just don't, and that they will battle and battle and never be satisfied. But you understand that that is the problem.
It didn't happen straight away. It took me a while. You know, after I come out of hospital, I was in for about a week, I think. I had to have all like the everything washed through because of what I'd done. And I just remember laying in hospital feeling absolutely ashamed of myself for what I'd done. Thinking how many people have real problems, and I've gone and done that, and that was a bit of a moment.
Bit of an eye opener. Yeah. They say you have to go down here to even start coming back up.
It's not even that. My wife came in with the kids. I just remember looking at them, thinking, "What a twat."
So how did you bounce back? How did you come back?
I wouldn't say I bounced back. It took me ages. Yeah. It took me ages. You know, I, after that, I wasn't right for a few months. Fair play, I was well looked after by the people around me. Like, you know, I couldn't even go for a piss without somebody checking that I wasn't doing something stupid for a while. But it's just realising, actually, you know, it doesn't matter. There's more going on.
It's a bigger picture, isn't it, than just yourself and just what's going on in your life.
Yeah, the hate I got as well off certain people that were so pissed off with what I did. And
like who?
Just people around me, friends. My wife, they were like, you know, it was a selfish thing to do, you know. My parents had done it when I was a kid, and I remember that. And they were like, well, now you've just done that to someone else. And that was a big moment too.
I don't think you ever mentioned that your parents had done that when you were a kid. I know we talked on many things.
My mum did it several times. Yeah, but she'd do it in front of people and she'd try and hang herself, and she was nuts.
So... And I'm sorry that you had to go through that. And you know
people
what?
People have gone through worse.
And well done for coming out the other side, and well done for, you know, just talking about it so openly like you are doing right now, and realising so many different things. Did you seek professional help? Did you ever sort of think, right, do you know what
didn't
I need?
Go so well.
No.
No.
I can't imagine it did.
No. The whole crisis team come in. I didn't like them. I told them to fuck off. Had to go and see a counsellor. He was an absolute fucking melt, to be honest. Didn't like him at all. Went and saw another counsellor who told me I was a danger to the public, which really pissed me off, actually. I think with counselling and help, you need the right help and the right counsellor. And to be perfectly honest, you know, I've tried to offer myself. I'm on a 3-month waiting list. I get an appointment. It's a good hour's drive from where I live. I go over there. There's some spotty teenager trying to tell me how to think without knowing a fucking thing about me. And I'm not the easiest person to get on with anyway. So I fucked them off. And then I, maybe three or four times over, I'd say the couple of years after that happened, I tried various counselling. And what I realised is, they don't count for shit. I didn't do it. Oh, fast forward in a few years now. Let's just say the last 18 months, I've had to go and talk to somebody. You know, we brushed on it before. I've recently experienced some huge trauma. And I had to come talk to somebody. And I sat and talked to somebody. And he's the first person I've ever thought, do you know what, I can talk to this guy. And I talked to him for a good hour. And he just looked at me and he went, fuck. Oh, and what he went, there's nothing I can say. I said, what do you mean? He said, I don't know how you feel. I've not lived that. There's probably, you know, less than 5% of the population has lived that. How am I going to tell you what to do and what to think? Mm-hmm. And I went, okay, yeah, I like that. That makes sense to me. And he went, what do you want me to do? I went, I don't know. And he went, well, you don't want medication, because I don't. I can sit and talk to you, but it's not going to make a difference because I don't know where you are. Mm. I can't help. And that honesty to me was actually fucking bang on.
Was that the best thing that you...
Well, he didn't sit there and pretend to know what I'm going through. He didn't sit there and pretend to know how to help me. What he sat there and went, fuck, shit, okay. Don't know what to do. And I thought, okay, that's both of us then. Yeah. And that actually made me think, well, if he doesn't know what to do and he's professional, yeah, maybe I've got the right to be a little bit pissed off.
Yeah.
And that sort of, in a weird way, helped a little bit. Some days I don't cope so well and people don't. What you don't realise is sometimes it's okay not to cope. Yeah. But all of this, oh, you know, you'll be fine. Maybe I won't be. Don't sit there and tell me I'll be fine because you've got no fucking clue. Yeah. You know, and it was the guy's honesty and you know, it's just what it is. And after that, like I said, I had professional help here and there, did fuck all. My wife was brilliant at the time, really good. Then she got angry, you know, seeing the look on her face, you know, how could you do that? How could you do this? You've got kids, you got me. And yeah, makes you feel real shit. She proper looked after me after it, picked me up, put me back together. And it made a difference. It did make a difference. And then, yeah, it was all right.
So what did you do? What happened after that?
I shut the karate school down. I literally picked, trying to work it out, maybe 15 students. I'll teach you 15, the rest of you get to fuck. Can't be doing with it. On your way. Really missed the money, actually. But felt better because I wasn't dealing with people I didn't like. Kept the ones I wanted. Taught them for a bit. Put that really, really on the back burner. Concentrated on work. Started getting more people working for me, doing the bodyguarding work, picking things up a little bit. Just tried to take the stress away.
Mm. Sometimes when you like I said, I always have this conversation. Me and my fellow always have this conversation. Like, as soon as you start putting pressure on yourself for money, right, and money becomes the be all
money
and end
shit.
All. It's awful. It is horrific. I even say it to like musicians and stuff like that. Once you start making it about the money, the doors start to close and you start to cap yourself in a little bit of a way. And for me, I always believe it's about energy. And if you're stopping the good flow of stuff, right, it ain't gonna bring any more. So can you tell?
So
were you able to get what I'm trying to say? Was your mind able to sort of open up a little bit more?
Fuck no.
Big no.
No. So with me, I started striving different ways to make money. I wanted more money. Stopped messing around with the teaching because it was too hit and miss. Wanted it steady. Started gambling with other things. Increased other work. Picked things right up. But I wanted more money. Now, from my upbringing, I wanted a big ass house, a nice car. I wanted everyone to look at me and go, you're doing better than me. Because that's what I wanted.
Okay.
That changed a bit later on. But what I found is I started earning really good money, spending stupid money. You know, some of them, looking back on it, some of the stupid shit I did was really, really bad. You know, just go out, spend, you know, a couple of grand on shit I didn't need. And then panic about it a week later. And, you know, I did a lot of that sort of stuff. But it was all to keep the appearance of doing better than we actually were. Looking back on it, we were doing better than most people. I was just spunking the money up the wall to impress them, you know. 200-300 quid pair of trainers walking around the place and this and that. But you don't see it when it's happening.
No.
You know, if I'd have just looked after it a bit better, it would have been different. We were doing okay.
How was your relationship with your children at this point?
To be honest, after I hurt myself, it got a lot better for a while. It was never bad, though, with the kids. Like, you know, I said just now that I started to hate them and resent them. They never saw that. I was always there. I was always at school, dropping off, picking up. You know, I was quite lucky because my work allowed me to be home a lot when they were... It was antisocial. It was great for the kids. It was shit for my wife. You know, all day, kids are in school, we're doing whatever. Kids come home, I'm gone. And that was happening a lot. And I didn't appreciate then how bad it was. You know, I remember once coming home and my daughter was, I think she was about 2 or 3 at the time. And literally pick the kids up from school. Well, I used to teach straight from school. So she'd go to pick the kids up. I'd pick the kids up, drop them off, and I was gone.
Yeah.
And I can remember coming in, it was about 9 o'clock at night, pulling up onto the drive. And like, it was a screaming child. Thinking, oh, for fuck's sake, I've just worked. I don't want to do this. And sitting in the car just long enough. And then coming in and finding out that had gone on since I left. And that sort of thing, you know, don't get me wrong, they're great kids, but they're kids. And looking back on it, there was a lot, like every weekend it was tournaments or bodyguarding and this and that. So the whole time she's got the kids, I'm not there. And when she hasn't got the kids, I'm there expecting attention and this and that. So that wasn't great, but we were in it. To me, earning was more important than the family life, which is something now would never be the same. Especially that village is particularly toxic, in my opinion, where we were. You've got all of these people, like, you know, and it is one of those villages, you get a new car, then the neighbour's got a new car and so on. It's very toxic like that. To me, I always want to do better than them. Now I don't give a fuck. Money doesn't mean luxury. Money means choices. I want money because I want choices. I don't want, you know, you got nothing, you got no choice in what you do, where you go, anything. If you have money, you got more of a life, you're more free. That's the only reason now that I think I need money.
If you see it as being an aspiration rather than the sign of your being, does that make sense?
Yeah, well, perspective. Back then, I would have bought a bigger house, a bigger car, whatever. Now, everything's kind of modest, if you like. But I was in a position to put my daughter into private school because that was better for her. Back then, I wouldn't have put her in the private school. I'd have bought the bigger house to show the neighbours I had the bigger house, right? And it's stupid shit like that. And that, I think, changed in my head quite a lot.
Yeah. As you're talking as well, like, I'm sort of like, in my head, I'm thinking, right, okay, well, my kids are this age and, you know, what do I do? Yeah, I do go and buy the Nike trainers because I'm working so much and I feel guilty.
Don't get me
wrong.
Whereas
actually, they want my time.
Yeah, you know, don't get me wrong, I quite like my trainers and this and that and whatever, but there's a lot more to it, you know. Also, and this is going to sound a bit daft, with the bodyguarding, I've met some very, very, very rich people. You know, I've worked for a billionaire, I've worked for a lot of people, and their attitude to money is not what people think it is. You know,
explain it to us, because right, there's so many people that get this inside.
So my 17-year-old is into his football, and he's into his stupid labels, and we'll go out and spend 270 quid, 300 quid, 400 quid on a jumper to go to a football match. Billionaires don't do that. You know, there's no point in walking around with like 5-6 grand worth of clothes on when 5-6 grand, that's a new car, that's an investment, that's a startup for a business. That's the difference now, where before it wasn't. Don't get me wrong, I spend money myself, or, you know, everybody does. But back then, I would have done it just to show people I could do it. And now I'm not like that.
So if anyone's listening to this right now, and, you know, like you said, there is going to be nobody that has been in the same scenarios as you or lived your life, as there is nobody that's lived my life or nobody that's lived, you know, Joe Bloggs's life, right? But there are people that will have found themselves in a hole or found themselves, you know, sort of having to battle demons or whatever, and maybe relating so much to this whole what you're saying. What advice would you give to the average family man that, you know, is doing exactly what you were doing back then? What advice would you give to them now?
I'm not really a big advice giver, but from me now, looking back, obviously things aren't great with the family situation now. There's a lot gone on, and I don't see my kids every day like I used to. What I do know is at some points we went to London and we did the theatre and we did football games in a box and we did this, and we spent thousands and thousands and thousands. when you look back at it, the kids liked the day at the beach when they were swimming in the harbour and we were eating ice cream on the seawall, not the fact that we'd spent however many thousands of pounds travelling to the other end of the country to sit in a box and be the posh people at the football. Just take your time and enjoy your family. You know, my daughter, especially, I used to take her to a little cafe not far from where we lived. Every time we had time on our own, I spent that time at the cafe with her. Now, you know, she does private school, this and that, but she still remembers the fact we used to go to the cafe and get a plate of chips and a milkshake. You know, you spend what you want, but it's your time that's what's important. Anyone can throw money at something. Time is what's important.
And we hear it. And we hear it. And we get told it. We get told it so much. But we don't actually really hear it so much from people that have lived it.
I didn't appreciate the time I spent with my family until they moved out. And then it properly hits you. You know, stupid shit. Laughing at stuff on TV and, you know, stupid little stuff that you find fucking irritating when you live with them. When they've gone, you do anything just to see them do that stupid shit in front of you again. You know, that's the difference.